Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You guys are fun.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Doug with the great advice to just look at the mic flag. It makes it all easier when you haven't been on the show for a month or so, like I haven't.
Right.
But I'm back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
Charlie Marlowe filling in for Tim McKernan with Doug, the cat. We got Iggy. We have the plow shark. And Sea Monster as well.
And Plowsy gave you that information about the mic flag, not Doug. You guys are ripping on every producer in this on the show today.
I have much love for the producers.
Mm-hmm. Cold weather blowing in. I'm going to put on a parka.
I like it when you feign anger with us. You know, I was just talking to Frank Cusimano back there.
Who's
and
that?
It just dawned on me that we got the 5 Fox, we got the 4 Fox with Doug, the 2 Fox with Charlie. All you guys are
Midwest
editors, right? Yeah, but we do something different. You guys are all from hapless local network.
So you think you're better.
And you're all competing against each other. And you know what you do? You put that aside, and you do great radio for the listeners of 590 The Fan. And for that, I ring the bell to you guys.
Ring the bell, brought to you by Hot Shots. Speaking of competing, the Blues competing against the Sharks tonight at Scott Trade Center. The Note, 8-6-3 on the season, hosting San Jose. 9-7 are the Sharks. Of course, the rematch of last year's Western Conference Final. Talk it over. We're going to speak with Kelly Chase right now, brought to you by Petromart.
Hey, Blues fans, it's time to drop your gloves and face off on the St. Louis Blues Report with Kelly Chase. Fueled by Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Now, here's Chaser.
All right, that's a long open, but it's a very good one there. Kelly Chase joining us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Kelly. And before we get to the Blues team, I guess the show hasn't talked to you since the Winter Classic alumni game rosters have been announced. You'll be playing in that. How excited are you to suit up again?
I was honored and thrilled, and then I skated. I've been skating a little bit, and then last night I went to the rink to skate with the alumni, and there's quite a group out there, and I have an ankle that's swollen up the size of a snow boot. So I don't know exactly what the deal is there, but right now I need to get off the IR, boys. It's plain and simple.
Did you roll it? Did you fall?
Yeah, I went and... Foolishness. Are you any of you familiar with pickleball?
No. Yes.
No.
It's like
that?
Tennis with wooden kind of little racket
right.
Paddles.
Exactly. Fastest growing little game there in the country, and it's so we played all summer as a family and as a you know, and it's getting where the kids are teenagers now. It's getting a little competitive around the Chase House. So 3 hours of that on our new court we put in, and. I think that just age and wear and tear bit me, and I woke up in the morning and could hardly walk a couple of days ago. So I think I'm just paying the price from stupidity of not stretching and thinking I was 20-some again.
This is kind of random, but I haven't seen pickleball courts in the Midwest, but I was visiting friends in Seattle a couple months ago, and I don't know if it's more popular on the West Coast or Canada,
huge.
But a park had 4 pickleball courts, all kinds of people were playing. We ended up playing for hours on a Saturday, you know, while we're drinking, watching football. It was really fun.
Well, you know what the funny thing about it is that, you know, being involved in trying to, you know, get some accommodations for the kids who aren't going to have a rink out here in Chesterfield, and we're working extremely hard to get our facility back so there's a local rink in Chesterfield and stuff. One of the questions that's asked all the time is there a chance that if the off season you guys can use them as pickleball courts? Because it's such a demand in Chesterfield for people to play, and with the heat, they need a covered an area. If it would be great if they had something with a roof on it to keep the heat. I'm like, I didn't really know what it was till 2 years ago, and now I'm I just have to laugh at when I hear, because there's so many people. It's like, to be honest with you, it's kind of the equivalent of curling in Canada, where everyone can play from 8 years old to 80 years old. And you get exercise playing a game that's that just includes a lot of people. I think it's great.
Is there a pickle involved?
Not so much, no.
It's a little green ball, right?
No, it's like a white...
The truth is, it's a wiffle ball.
Yeah.
And, they'll call it what they want, but that's really what it is. It's a wiffle ball. And it's played somewhere between tennis and ping pong. And so... it's best played with, doubles and it includes everybody. So it doesn't matter really how athletic you are. You'll be able to find a game somewhere. And there's lots of people that are just saying, especially tennis players that are like, I can't get around anymore. I've had my knee replaced. I've had my, now once the third, shot is made in it, everybody kind of attacks the neck, and it's just a reactionary sport. So you're still getting some exercise and having some laughs and still competing. And at our house, sometimes the competition gets a little bit tough,
Well, the competition will be tough tonight as the Blues host the Sharks. Wow, how's nice. That for a segue, yeah. Chaser?
Hold on. Before you go into the segue, I got to tell you guys this. I laugh so hard when like the producers or the guys that phone me now or call me the day before, hey, we're on at 9 or on at 8:30 or whatever. It's like little Tim McKernan's, little minions running around saying, thank you, sir. Our little presentation. Thank you. I just howl every week. I actually put them on speakerphone now sometimes with my wife and go, listen to this. This is great. I got little Tim McKernan calling me, but it's not him. It's hilarious. You guys are turning, you really are. Now you have little minions that are emulating you guys.
We call them lemmings. We call them lemmings.
Okay. Oh.
And Tim's not here today, Chaser, so the producers are just kind of sad.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I'd like you to play that to Tim when he gets back, just because if I could, I got to start saving the text. It's hilarious. I'm like, Tim? ? No, not Tim. It's great. You guys have done a heck of a job of having people believe in you. I got to give it to you.
So what we're talking about, the Blues, and the Sharks. So,
and your great segue.
And your great segue. Yeah, can I get a self ring?
Yeah, go ahead.
Steen and Tarasenko didn't practice yesterday. Is that just something that, something minor, and we'll see him tonight? What do you think?
Well, in Steen's case, I know it's precautionary, certainly, because he got sent to the quiet room and the whole works, and at first upset about it because, you don't want somebody telling you from upstairs, hey, can't play. But I think it's done for the right reasons, and especially the history with Alex, I think that probably, sets off a little bit more of a sign to say, listen, let's just be smart about this and not have a 3-month thing, So, it'll be interesting to see how he felt today, and if you got the 48 hours, where you're cleared or you're good, then you should be okay. And again, I can tell you that you can tell when you're off, when you're at that stage of your career where you're. It's funny. There's little things that tell you your timing's off, and I've told you guys this before when I had some issues with my health. I was trying to skate, and I would go down the ice with the alumni, and I'd go, it'd be a puck coming across at me, and I caught the pass a million times with one hand on my stick. I'd be already looking to decide what I was going to do with it, and I'd miss it. And it frustrated the hell out of me for a while because I didn't realize that, I had some timing things off, and it turned out it was my head and my issues with that. So a guy like Alex is very in tune with how he feels. I don't think there's anyone on the team that trains harder than him. And so he'll be able to gauge whether or not he's got some fog in there or not.
The media obviously will make a big deal out of this being a rematch of the playoffs last year. Do the players think in those terms at all when they see a team like the Sharks again for the first time?
That's a good question. I never even thought about it. So I guess it tells you one, former players don't. I just look at the team change so much It's not I don't think that I look at San Jose and go, oh, they've become a big rivalry of ours. So I don't know. I guess it comes down to you know, sometimes you'll play against a team in the playoffs that you don't really, you know, you didn't really have, you know, an opinion one way or the other about them prior to the playoff. And then you get, for some reason, you have a dislike to them because it might be something individually that happened to you or was said to you out there or that you felt you were wrong. But I would assume there's some sort of, you know, carry over a little bit to just to say, you know, I think more the measuring stick is, to be honest with you, is that no matter what they say the standings are right now, everybody's pretty sure that they've got a good team on their hands. So, I mean, you know, both teams are looking at it, both coaches are looking at it like this is a measuring stick for our team. No matter what the records are, we're both pretty familiar with the cast and crew of each club, and so you know, they take it personal, and I think that's important. I think the coach is more so using it as a gauge to where their team's at is important.
The Sharks are pretty healthy, but they haven't really played that well. What do you make of what you've seen from them in the early going?
You know, and honestly, I think there's a lot of teams going through this right now, and I think one of the reasons is the World Cup. I think, you know, you've seen it on our group. I think some of the guys that were in it didn't get off to the greatest starts, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I remember talking to Kenny Holland after the first Olympics. I think it was the Olympics. Maybe not the first Olympics. The Olympics that Sweden had won, and the Wings had so many players playing in that Olympics. And he said, just think about that. You're in an emotional atmosphere every day as a player in the NHL. Then you go to you played in the Stanley Cup Finals the year before. You go to this event that's a tournament. So for 2 weeks, the intensity is jacked up even greater than you've just witnessed in the league play of the NHL. Plus, for us, then you come back and they're like, okay, well now there's, you know, 2 months of your season left, and you've just won a gold medal and a Stanley Cup. I'd like you to get your emotion. Like they're emotionally spent, and I think sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get that group back to where they were. And I think that's what's happened in lots of clubs here. And I think it's really affected San Jose.
Chaser, I know, you know, Buffalo, not a very good team in last place in the Atlantic. And you don't want to jump to conclusions based on one game, but you had the tough, you know, embarrassing performance at Columbus, losing 8-4. And then Ken Hitchcock said that Monday they had their best practice of the season. Then they have a very good game against the Sabres. Did you see, you know, a big difference in style of play? They seem to dominate the stat sheet pretty much across the board in that game.
Well, two things. One, they should have. And secondly, I think the sales staff has put Hitch on retainer now. Because I got a kick out of him saying that. This is the best practice we've had in 2 years. I think I'm going to come down and buy tickets. I mean, I don't, you know, look at. I love how the coach sometimes has to rally the guys and feel good. He wanted them to feel good about themselves, but I wouldn't read too much into that because the truth is that the Blues needed to win that game against Buffalo just because of where they were in the standings and because, you know, their best players, three of their best players, their three top players are on the lineup. And so when you were in a situation like we were a few years ago with the Blues, you don't have the luxury of the depth that you can get away with, you know, possibly having a guy in your lineup that can get you through a couple of games like that. They didn't have that luxury in Buffalo, and so you've got to kick them when they're down. And I think the Blues did a pretty good job of that the other night. I think they found a way to stick with kind of like a little bit of a program that they said they were going to, hey, no matter what the score was, we're going to just, this is what we feel our game plan has to be. And I think they did a great job of doing that. And I think the coach sold them on the positive, which is important at this time of the year when you're struggling like that a little bit. But it comes down to this. I mean, are you going to work the other team, and how bad are you going to want to go to the areas that are no fun playing in? And the Blues did that. So you have to credit them with being prepared, and you have to also credit them with the fact that, you know what, things didn't go great at the start. I mean, they were getting lots of chances, but the truth is that the game, you know, wasn't coming to them really easy at the first, but they stayed with the game plan and they executed towards the stretch. And look, at the end of the day, everybody contributed, and that's what they're looking for more than anything.
They certainly got a lot of juice from Fabry, it seemed, when he stepped in and got into a scrap defending a teammate. I would imagine you in particular really appreciated that.
I appreciated it. I you know, look, I don't care what anybody says that, you know, I think I said it in a tweet and a few, you know, we're at the movie that we had. We talk about this in it. I know what the deterrents are out there. And Robbie Fabry upgraded the character on the St. Louis Blues teams tremendously in that game. And Curbs asked me after the game, what's the positive you take from this Buffalo game? And I said, they have more character now. When the game finished, they have more character. And it's true. They found out, the scouts found out, the players found out that Robbie Fabry cares about his teammates and that you know what? The Buffalo Sabres went, Robbie Fabry's got some jam. And guess what? He's going to stick up for his teammates. And we like to keep, you know what? Everyone around the league is going to talk about the kids not backing down. I promise you, when the reports were filled out, that was one of the things that was on the reports. This Fabry kid doesn't back down, and he stuck up for his teammate. And I guarantee you, they know the difference when it doesn't happen, too. So the guys that stood around watching and didn't do anything that might be, you know, larger in stature and maybe stronger than Robbie Fabry, there's points made about them, too. So I just thought it was a huge character builder for the group, and it'll have to continue to grow. And people might say, well, that sounds silly. I mean, why would that be character? But I can tell you, every single reporter after the game, I mean, even in the post-game show, I'm driving home, I'm hearing these questions that Robbie's had to answer. You know, what was it, you know, like, he stuck up for a teammate. And at the end of the day, that's what you're supposed to do. And he did it, and it was great. And I think that, you know what, it speaks volumes about the kid and about how he cares.
Chaser, appreciate the time as always, sir. Thanks for joining us. Have a good call tonight.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
See you, Chaser.
Hey, have a good day on your little presentation.
Yeah.
Three hosts and three producers. That's how we do it here.
All right.
It's
all
a fine presentation.
Kelly Chase joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, brought to you by Petromart.
That was your Blues Report with Kelly Chase, fueled by Petromart. Stop by your locally owned and operated Petromart location to register for your chance to win a limited edition Blues 50th anniversary Grizzly Cooler, courtesy of Petromart and Pepsi. Start all your pregame festivities at Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues and a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly.
How about that, Doug? And speaking of the Blues, Hot Shots, come by, watch the Blues. Have a beverage, enter to win Blues tickets. Sounds like a winner to me. Hot Shots is St. Louis's home for all the games, all the time, and a proud home for Blues fans for over 25 years. Enjoy the following specials during all St. Louis Blues games. Daily Bud Family Specials, 50th anniversary specials on Hot Shots root beer barrels, and Blues shots after every Blues goal. Jack Daniels, Jack Fire Drinks specials as well. Blues Long Island and Blues Bombs. You know what a Blues Bomb is?
No.
Me either, but I'm sure it's tasty. And a Blues Sampler appetizer for $6.95. You have the Tuesday hockey night dates and locations. So coming up here, Tuesday, November 22nd, Hot Shots O'Fallon. Tuesday, December 6th, Hot Shots Wentzville. And on, Doug, throughout December, January, February, March, and hopefully a long playoff run.
Mm-hmm. And if the game goes poorly and you're thinking, you know what, I'm so upset, I think I'll just cut up my ticket. Oh, you get out the scissors. Oh, it's not quite sharp enough. Well, what do you do then?
Chop, chop, cheeky.
Chop, chop, cheeky, Bertarelli Cutlery, Jackie Papers. They can sharpen just about anything. You're saying, wait, I have something other than scissors. I bet they can't sharpen yet. Yes, they can. Here's a little list of things that they sharpen. Knives, daggers, machetes. So you can go to war.
You know, it's funny. You bring that up.
After you go to Bertarelli Cutlery.
You bring that up as a joke, but my buddy Austin Velker, who used to run the board on this show,
right,
he's an outdoorsman. I told him how I have this area behind the fence that I need to cut down a bunch of brush and vines. He bought me a machete, okay? And as I posted a picture of it jokingly, Matthew Bertarelli tweeted at me and said, you can sharpen that machete at our place.
Oh, sure.
It's a big, nice machete, probably like 2 feet long.
It's only $10 to sharpen a machete at Bertarelli Cutlery.
Pretty sweet. Try
getting that price anywhere else. Swords, scissors, pinking shears, kitchen shears, food processing blades, mandolin blades. We've all got a mandolin blade. Lawnmower blades, mulching blades, reel mowers, pruning shears, garden clippers, shovels. Get your shovel sharpened. Chainsaw blades, paper cutters.
What about a buck knife?
What about a spade? Not anything. A shovel, but a spade.
Yeah, spade, absolutely.
What's the difference between a shovel and a spade?
I think a shovel has a pointed nose to it, and okay, a spade is like square, I believe. But they could tell you that at Bertarelli. So you're wondering, where is the place? Okay, I'm sold.
Well, I've been there,
I've got
actually
a machete. Well, not you, but other people. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. That's in St. Louis proper. That's in the Hill. It's right there on Marconi. They have a fabulous showroom there, a retail area, and then in the back is where they sharpen up all your tools. Bertarelli Cutlery, where there is never a dull moment. And if you mention this little presentation, you get one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase at Bertarelli Cutlery.
You know, Gobble Bowl is Saturday, and Ryan Kelly sent me his team. And on his team is Mike Bertarelli.
Nice.
No fooling.
Yep, so he's...
That'll be a heck of a squad.
It will be.
Our sponsors stick together. We stick together. Sometimes we don't get a guest booked on a show that we would like, but we still stick together.
We probably should have put together a bowling team to bowl in Gobble Bowl.
Well, you can still come out, Doug. I sent out three emails to the 2 Fox, the 4 Fox, and the 5 Fox, see if they wanted to come out and cover it, and the 4 Fox... Iggy, we will be there. We love the Meghan Meyer Foundation. No response from 5 or 2.
Huh, that's not surprising.
That doesn't mean we won't be there.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Wait, so you're saying 4 Fox, the courteous station.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We RSVP. How about you?
Hey, did you guys see the tweet last night from Kate Upton?
I did.
Yes.
This is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
So Kate Upton, are they engaged or married? Either way,
well, no,
I think they're engaged.
He's just banging her.
Yeah, so... Okay. So Kate Upton, either engaged or married, we'll look it up, with Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander does not win the Cy Young Award, although he gets the most first place votes, and that goes to Rick Porcello, wins the award in the American League. So Kate Upton takes to Twitter last night at 5:55 p.m., and right now this has 64,000 retweets and 106,000 likes.
That could be a record.
And I'm going to have to edit this for content, for vulgarity.
Yeah, be careful there.
But she says, "Hey, MLB. I thought I was the only person allowed to blank Justin Verlander. What two writers didn't have him on their ballot?" And Doug, she used the most vulgar of swear words.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty darn funny.
Todd Hoffman would call it frick.
There you go. Sounds
if
like
we
that.
We had him on. Thank you, Iggy. You're ticked too, but you won't say.
I liked her though, standing by her man.
Yeah, I
Doug,
did too.
And
yeah.
It's pretty funny.
And it's true.
Correct.
How could you not have him even on your ballot? I mean, he led most of the big categories. How could anyone look at him and say, no, he doesn't deserve any kind of vote at all?
Would those two votes have gotten him the Cy Young? I didn't see the total votes.
He lost by 5 points. It was like 137 to 132. So I don't know how many all the votes
maybe not
count for. But yeah, I'm sure a couple second place votes probably get you over the top.
But Doug, wouldn't you say that using that kind of language on Twitter, especially if you have a lot of followers, I saw she has over like 2 million or something like that, wouldn't you consider that vile?
And a little
would
rough,
you,
a little crass.
Would you suspend her?
I'm going to let it go this time. I'm going to let it go because it wasn't aimed at me.
Can we get a news release that Doug Vaughn is going to let this go? Because it seems there might be a double standard.
Little crass. She probably could have gotten her point across without actually spelling out the word.
I think what Kat was getting at is, why don't you suspend someone and mention Llewellyn's while you do it?
I was trying. Put it on a T.
Well, I don't think that was suspension worthy.
Suspend someone else, then.
Well, what if
How about this? How about suspending the writers that didn't put JV on their ballots?
All right. Major League Baseball writers have been suspended. They've been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Not Gouldsy, though, right?
Their name, I don't know. I don't know how he voted. But these other writers...
It's American League cities, correct?
Their names are going into the handsome leather-bound Llewellyn suspension logule.
You have two writers from each American League city totaling 30 votes.
It just exposes the inherent bias of some of these people that vote. And then they'll be talking about Porcello. He will be anyway, winning the Cy Young for the rest of his life. And some of it may have come down to a couple of voters either didn't take the time to see what the numbers really were, or didn't like Verlander for some reason. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad that in this world, bias is relegated to just sports.
Correct.
We don't see it anywhere
else.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere else.
Well, why don't they let the players and the managers vote on that?
I agree with
why
you.
Why would that be a baseball writer thing?
Now, a question for Miss Boobs. Maybe those two guys didn't vote for your boyfriend because they didn't care for you.
Well, that'd be a stupid reason not to.
It's a stupid reason not to vote for him at all, but maybe that's the reason.
But that's...
That's
exactly
another reason.
That's bias.
Another reason to take the vote away from them. If you can't vote for who really was the best pitcher in the league, if you don't think he was even in the top five, you don't deserve a vote. By any measure, he was in the top five.
Absolutely.
Speaking of things receiving votes, Doug's butt was a...
Thanks for chiming in with that, Plowsy.
...write-in candidate for the Todd Hoffman poll.
How about that?
So Doug's butt is actually tied with Eureka.
Doug, are you proud?
What are the results now? We'll call them the final results.
118 who's, 29 yeses, 2 typical cat, 2 no, 1 Doug's butt, 1 Eureka, and 1 only if Tony Beats is unavailable.
So the answer is far and away, by my count, which may or may not be biased. Yes, people wanted to hear Todd.
I don't think they did.
Well, it was 27-2, yes to no.
Thank you. That's the
118. Who in the world are you talking about?
Those are the schematics that we're using.
Nice schematics. I need you to settle down.
Hey, speaking of the Cy Young Award, though, you have Parkway Central grad and Mizzou's own Max Scherzer winning the National League for the Nationals, becomes just the 6th pitcher in baseball history to win a Cy Young in both leagues. And beforehand, I hadn't really looked at all the numbers, but I thought Lester was going to win. But then you look at Max Scherzer's numbers, and he led the league in wins, starts, innings, strikeouts, whip, and strikeout to walk ratio. And it was kind of funny. I was looking. He also led the league in home runs allowed. How many times do you think a guy who led the league in whip also led the league in home runs allowed? Well, that seems pretty odd.
Must have been a lot of solo shots.
The guys who pitch the most tend to lead the league in home runs.
Right, but if you're leading the league in whip...
Did he lead the league in innings pitched?
He did.
Well, that's probably why.
I know, but if your whip is below one, you're, by definition, you're not walking anybody, first of all, but also you're not allowing a lot of hard contact to have your whip below one. It's kind of odd that you'd also lead the league in home runs, even if you have pitched 228 odd innings.
I'm not sure what
a home run and whip would be the same as a walk or a base hit.
No, I know, but if you have a low whip, you're allowing fewer just hits in general. So the fact that you allowed 31 home runs, I mean, you obviously have to hit the ball pretty well to hit it out of the park.
Maybe it means that there's not guys on base because you're not walking or allowing a lot of hits, too.
Maybe that means that he challenges hitters. If he gets behind in the count, he's not afraid to just say, all right, here it is, big boy.
And when they vote for this, I thought Hendricks was not by far and away the best pitcher in the NL, but being a fourth or fifth guy in a rotation, you don't get that necessarily the innings like a Max Scherzer will get. And did that come into play? Because I think Hendricks had the lowest ERA.
Yes, he did.
And I thought, I mean, his workload throughout the year, regardless of the innings pitch, I thought he should have had a chance to at least win it. But Scherzer, you can't deny the numbers, right?
And you have to have, I mean, all those guys had great years, but the name recognition plays in as well. Look at Hendricks. He led the league in ERA, and still in the playoffs, Joe Maddon wouldn't let him go 5 innings. And maybe the Cubs vote got split up a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Could have been.
But Mad Max, Doug, hell of a career. 20 strikeout game, couple of no-hitters, 2 Cy Youngs.
Yeah, he really has been something.
Parkway Central.
The guy that grew up just a few miles from where we sit right now, one of the very best pitchers on the planet.
And you talk about a pretty nice life. Major League Baseball player, just signed, I think it was a $210 million contract, and was vacationing with his college buddies off the British Virgin Islands on a boat as he was hearing the news, celebrating, and they're all dousing him with champagne.
Could it get any better than that?
That's a pretty good life.
Yeah. Yep.
You ever interview him?
Yes.
Really nice guy.
Very nice guy. And he has the 2 different colored eyes. Yeah. I can't remember what that's called, but both of his eyes are different colors.
Yeah.
David Bowie had that.
I just wish he had signed here when he was a free agent.
You know, the truth is that the hometown ties to him weren't that strong at that point. You know, there wasn't that drive. Some people want to come home. He wasn't against it, but that wasn't anything that really got involved with his decision.
Maybe. Might be better for your career not to have to deal with that every single day.
And if there's one guy that makes that much money, he's probably the one that deserves it the most because he's actually got productivity. I don't want to bring Hayward up. I mean, there's a lot of people that overpay or pay for production that you had years before. Scherzer's probably still got 5 or 6 solid years left. So, in turn, the money actually might be worth it. I think it was 7 or 8 years, $210 million.
Yeah.
Where was he drafted in the first round?
Diamondbacks. I think he was about 9th overall.
I thought it was in the top 15.
Somewhere there.
Can't believe that they got rid of him.
And the Diamondbacks,
bet they're kicking themselves,
got rid of him in part because they thought his mechanics were so max effort, not to use a bad pun there, but they thought he was going to be a guy who wouldn't be durable and would get injured a lot.
Right.
Because he really does. If you watch him throw, he has a lot of effort in his delivery, but he's been able to stay really healthy and has gotten better as he's gotten older.
Yeah. Well, those scouts are pretty good in Arizona. They thought Shelby Miller was going to be a great pickup for them.
11th overall pick for Scherzer, and it appears to be, I can't find the date, but yeah.
I think he was drafted by the Cardinals out of high school very late, I believe. And well, he's picked very high after his time at Mizzou.
He's played everything just right. Remember, the Tigers offered him a big contract before his contract expired.
$144 million, and people thought he was crazy. Right. And all the baseball writers said, there's no way he's going to get more than that.
And it's made him, what, another $70 or $80 million. By staying healthy that year and having a good year, it was worth another $70 or $80 million.
Yes, 7 year, $210 million is what he signed.
Nice. Well, it's nice that great things are happening to a nice guy.
Well said, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And Kat, Elysium Restoration, nice guys that work there and gals.
They're great people, Charlie. And
you know anything about them?
I do, actually. You're a homeowner. You're a homeowner. If you got a little project in your house, maybe a little sprucing up project, make it look better, Elysium is a place to go. Elysium Restoration and Design has the highest quality craftsmen with more than 15 years of experience with bathroom remodels, kitchens, basements, additions, windows, doors, and flooring. And they do all of it, Doug, while podcasting like the Dickens. Good. They can fit it all in. They do custom builds like built-in bookshelves, entertainment centers, or added crown molding. They also do office facelifts and tenant buildouts for commercial spaces. Visit erdstl.com or facebook.com/erdstl to see some of their amazing work. You want to see it for yourself. Elysium Restoration and Design Trust is one of the things that they build well.
Max Scherzer drafted by the Cardinals out of high school in 2003 in the 43rd round.
Hmm.
So didn't sign. And 3 years later, drafted by the Diamondbacks, 11th overall.
Hmm. So that would have, had he signed with the Cardinals, about 3 years later, he would have been ready to be a rookie here in about 2006. And had he not
potentially
pitched 3 years at Mizzou, right? Three? He didn't go all the way through Mizzou, I don't
believe. Yeah, he was drafted in 06.
Yeah.
You ever have this on your iPad where it keeps saying you've won some random prize, and it just won't stop going to this screen, and it takes me away from the screen I'm trying to look
at. Does it say an iPhone 7 or something?
It says your iPad has been randomly selected to receive a $1,000 gift card, and I keep trying to get out of it, and it's
and you can't.
Bothering me.
I think it might be fake, Charlie.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Could be malware?
Oh, it could very well be malware, some sort of a Trojan horse virus.
Hey, let's get back to some of these fun with audios, because the previous ones with John Hamm and Billy Eichner were so good. Plowsy, we have about four left. Vin Scully, Steve Smith, Joe Buck.
The first one was awful. I mean, it was awful.
I was trying to be nice about it. And we have an American University professor with strong prediction about Trump's presidency from Fox Business. Let's listen to them all. Where should we start? Right. Plowsy.
Joe Buck.
Joe Buck, Iggy says. Clip four. Does play-by-play for CNN's Jake Tapper, his son's Little League game.
Well, here's Jack Tapper digging in, number 23 for the Bears. Obviously, home plate hasn't been watered down in, 3 or 4 months. Baseball pants are dirty. Here's a swing and a ground ball. Right side. Jack is busting it down the line. Kick it back in to slide into first. They teach you to never do that. Jake missed that lesson.
Ready, Jack?
But safe with another hit for Jack Tapper.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Quite a call.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool to have Joe Buck do that for your kid. Pretty cool.
And then he was on Jake Tapper's show on CNN promoting the book, so he's making the rounds.
Yeah, he does the St. Louis show a record first, though.
Yeah, I believe he was here first. Sure. Why wouldn't he be? You know, he wanted to reach the maximum audience.
We made him.
Hey, speaking of broadcasters, Vin Scully gets the call that he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
All right, at the lever, Plowsy.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Hi there. My name is Josh Earnest. I'm the White House Press Secretary.
Oh, my gosh. I certainly know the name. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, we're fine.
Well, Mr. Scully, I know that you're really busy. I wanted to call and talk to you about something. The every year, the president gives out something called the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It is it's the highest civilian honor that any president can give. And President Obama has given it out every year that he's been in office. And he gives it just to a handful of people. And this year he's going to give it to you.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yes. So you've had.
Are you sure? I'm just an old baseball announcer.
Well, listen, you've had a remarkable impact on the lives of generations of sports fans in this country. And you have brought a decency and a professionalism to this job that hasn't just captured the attention of generations of Americans. It's captured the attention of the President of the United States. And you've got a legacy.
I'm rather overwhelmed and humbled.
And congratulations,
thank you so much, Josh.
All right, it's my pleasure. Take care. Bye.
Bye for now.
What a nice guy.
How about that?
They didn't talk very long on the phone. Yeah, they got off the phone pretty quickly.
Who was taping that?
I'm sure the White House.
Yeah, the White House was doing a feature. Yeah. And you could see that it was a huge kick for this the guy who probably looked up and idolized Vin Scully as a kid and got to call him and let him know the news. And
who, Josh Earnest?
Yeah, at the end of the video,
big baseball fan.
You could see
him.
He was very excited to talk to Vin Scully, which, I mean, everybody would be.
How about that, Doug?
Oh, sure. That was a nice moment for
Dodger
him.
Baseball.
Right, and you could see what a humble guy he is. I'm just an old baseball announcer. I like that.
I loved it when they gave him the standing ovation at the end, and he was down there and just said, "It's just me. Come on, it's just me."
But that's kind of like when after you do a really good 11 o'clock sports cast.
Correct.
And you get the love from the studio crew, and you're like, guys, we do it every day.
The robotic cameras, yeah.
You expect to get a similar call after a couple of key VOSATs?
A couple more.
White House calling for Mr. Marlowe.
A couple more key VOSATs. I think I'll get that Presidential Medal of Freedom.
You think Trump might give him one?
I don't think so.
He should.
No. I don't think he'd step quite that far across the aisle.
He's kind of an independent, though. Let's be real. Which I like. Moving on. All listener right. Rewards, KFNS and InsideSTL.com. Listener Rewards, support the sponsors and save, fellas. This week, save even more as prices have dropped on ongoing deals. Get a $50 gift certificate to Cha Cha Chow and Gaslight Lounge for just $15. That's fun to say, Doug. Cha Cha Chow.
Cha Cha Chow, yeah.
Enjoy $50 to Wildwood Pub, Rich and Charlie's Pizza, or Bishop's Post now for just $20. And soccer fans, don't forget the Ambush 5 ticket. Flex packs are still on sale for 50% off. You choose 5 tickets to one game, 1 ticket to 5 games, just $55. Log on and save at InsideSTL.com and click Listener Rewards. Email of the day coming up. 2 tickets to Blues versus Predators on Saturday night, courtesy of generous executive Dan O'Neill. The text of the day, free roast beef sandwich from Lion's Choice. Doug, we love Lion's Choice.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice little
I haven't read there. A lot of text, and I'm trying to, but I'm telling you. You try to read them.
Are there any that are clean?
They don't load, and then you try to read it, and it just kind of disappears on you. Yeah, there's been some good ones.
Would they help the presentation or just distract from it?
How about this? Deke Dotem texting in, is the better Parkway Central grad, Scherzer or Deke Dotem?
Scherzer. I don't have to think about
it. Is it close,
first,
though?
Tie for first.
It's not close. Who else is Parkway Central?
What is he actually banned from, Doug? I'm asking.
He's been banned from this program.
So he can text in, though.
Well, his text should not have been read.
He was actually on the show as sort of a guest.
He was on the station.
But he was out of town when that happened.
Free Dotem?
Knock it off, Cuppy.
He's on my Gobble Bowl team, Dotem. He's coming in town just for that.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And as I understand it, Dan McLaughlin was interviewed by Buck Swope to discuss some of the origins of Dan's interaction with...
Jim Hayes was telling me on the way to the ballpark.
Kubak
wanted me to pass along a note from the Dotem family. He met Mr. and Mrs. Dotem and their son, Deke. And they want to say hi to family and friends back home in St. Louis.
They don't.
That's from the Dotems.
It isn't.
He's the best.
Hey, for those who make their corner of the world a little more interesting for us all, there's only one drink that will do, Tullamore Dew, the official Irish whiskey of the morning after, a... whiskey of true character, glasses up to responsible drinking. We have a couple more fun with audio clips. How about, this is Steve Smith, the football player, I'm guessing, right? Steve Smith, senior of the Ravens, with some hot takes on kickers in the NFL.
How does a kicker make a 40-yard field goal? Who has to set it up? The playmakers, right? Okay. Tucker makes it, great. If Tucker misses it, we're on Tucker. Okay? Just do your job. Man, if it's a game-winning one, I'm close my eyes, say a prayer. God, please help him make it. But I'm not watching the evolution of kicking a ball in the National Football League. Sorry. I would rather go to a circus, a carnival, a fair, or even a medieval festival and watch cotton candy be made before I watch Justin Tucker and the other guy practice kicking before pregame to see the evolution of kicking. Sorry.
Doug, how about
to
that?
To see the evolution of kicking.
That how about the media chuckle in the background every time he had a joke?
Yeah, I think the question was, and I'm not for sure why. I don't know if there was a background of Steve Smith and kicker. The guy just randomly chimes in after a football question and asks, so pregame, do you watch both kickers from each team and see the evolution of kicking and how it was when you started your career and it is now? And he had no idea what the hell this is.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. No, the question itself was terrible.
Did they know what the word evolution means?
But you don't know what the question really was.
No,
that's the whole thing, is that maybe he took in that direction.
No, I knew what the question was. This is just part of it. I mean, they had the question before.
Oh, so you heard it, and he asked. That's what he asked.
Hey, speaking of evolution, Mike Pence doesn't believe in evolution. An American university professor with strong prediction about Trump's presidency, our final Fun With Audio clip.
And to kind of give you a background on this, this isn't the guy months ago when everyone said Hillary was going to win the presidency. This guy actually predicted that Trump would win. He was one of the first that came out.
There was also a turkey that is predicted. I mean,
a couple goldfish.
Oh, no,
seriously, people were coming out of the wood. This is the turkey that predicted the last election.
No, I agree. I want to kind of give you some context into why this
sure.
was. Okay.
All right. Hit the lever, please.
Good context.
Donald Trump has played fast and loose with the law his entire life. We know he ran an illegal charity in New York. We know he made an illegal campaign contribution from that charity. There's strong evidence that he used the charity to settle personal debts. Strong documentation that he broke the Cuban embargo when that was a serious crime. He is facing a civil suit for racketeering on Trump University. It's possible that one or more of those 12 women who have accused him of sexual assault could launch a civil suit against him. And remember, it was the civil suit by Paula Jones that opened the door to the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He faces other civil suits as well. And so he also has opened up a real possibility of some severe conflicts of interest by one, turning his business interests over to his children, which is in effect, of course, keeping it all in the family, and then secondly, requesting top secret security clearances.
So he's basically saying Trump will be impeached.
But he didn't do the latter. He did not request security clearances for his kids. And why wouldn't you turn over your business to your kids? Why wouldn't you?
There's a conflict.
Who has a $1 billion business and say, no, I don't want my kids anywhere close to this?
I had nothing to do with playing that clip, by the way.
Yeah, this was just a blow.
What was his prediction, though? What did he predict?
He would be impeached.
Okay. Sure.
Did he say that for certain?
I didn't hear that.
He said that he could.
Yeah,
I thought it was could.
The title of this video is American University
it was also
Professor
cut off.
Think Trump should be impeached. Well, it was like, I think it was 4.5 minutes or 5 minute segment on Fox Business.
Well, I mean, the same could be said about Hillary had she been elected. She faces some legal challenges as things move along, too. I do like the...
You think she still will after the campaign?
I think there's issues with her foundation that they're continue to look at.
I don't think they're going to look into it.
I would say the chances are slim, but
I think
both candidates had some things that they were going to have to try to overcome.
Yeah, they both will. I think they'll go full bore over Hillary's.
I do like the way the media is going nuts about Trump's transition team like it's... It's falling apart. I heard Wolf Blitzer say on CNN yesterday to a guest, the fact that we're getting all these leaks about turmoil, is this an indication that he can't lead? He hasn't even taken office yet.
Would you expect anything else from these people? NBC News put out a tweet the other night that said, Trump has dinner with the family showing lack of transparency. He actually decided at 7:30 that the family was going to go a block or two away and have dinner at a steakhouse, and NBC was furious that they weren't notified of this.
I will say that
I agree with you on that. It showed a lack of transparency
in his campaign.
I absolutely agree with you when you read that headline. Apparently, though, the press corps going back years, because the office is covered by every news outlet, apparently they are supposed to be told about literally every movement by the president.
I didn't even hear a Republican spokesperson.
And it has to do with transparency with the president if something were to happen. So I understand, like, the headline looks very bad.
I heard a Republican operative say, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. They're making too much out of it, but he should have. It's to him, it was a beginner's mistake. But in the past, every president has been more open.
I think a guy can go to dinner with his family without alerting the media.
All right, I'm just saying.
It's pretty stupid.
11:17 at 9:50. Here's a prediction. Trump will not last 4 years.
And that's based on what?
That's my prediction. He will not last 4 years. Something will happen that he will just quit and Pence will take over as the president.
I think it was telling that he mentioned that in his speech when he won. He said, you know, in 2, 3, 4, maybe 8 years. And I'm not saying it's because something negative, but what Iggy said, you could see if he's 3 years in and he doesn't want to run again, he's already been the president, and he could pass it along to Mike Pence to give him a better chance. I could see something like that happening because he's also older. I'm not saying because of something negative, for example.
You know,
I don't think Hillary would have ran. If she'd have won, I don't think Hillary would have ran again at the age of, what, 70?
Yeah, she would have.
2, 3?
She would have. You know, if Hillary would have won, she would have been my president, you know, even though I don't think that highly of Donald Trump either. But I do think, give him a chance. What if Trump is good for the economy? What if he's able to avoid some of the things that, you know, and I understand there's legitimate concern, but what if he handles things well, the economy turns around? Will he get any credit, or will it be a constant push against him?
He'll get credit from half the country, and half the country will continue to fight him.
It's pretty much, I don't think that's just a Donald Trump thing. I think it's really hard for either side to give any credit to the other side. Even if they have done a good job, I think it shows weakness for their party. And also, it has to do with campaigning the next time around. You can't say, hey, that person did a good job when you're trying to go
the other side. I'm talking about the media. I'm talking about the media. Because, one thing that I took away from the WikiLeaks is that, and, you know, we only saw the Democratic side. It probably goes on to a certain extent on the Republican side. But there was a real cheerleading going on for the DNC, for Hillary, and from the media. And I think those people are dead set against Trump having any success. And I understand what you're saying about Obama. Yes, there's a lot of people never gave him a chance. But I think, it's, I think it's a bigger extent we're seeing that.
Like I said, I don't buy all the, you know, again, transition team. Let's just let him put his team in place. He's got 2 months. Let's see what he does. Let's see what the people, and then let's judge him when he starts his
CNN was saying that it's
presidency.
Falling apart based on their information. You know, no one knows what's going on.
The thing that's falling apart is CNN. That's who's falling apart. Their ratings have tanked.
CNN made like an extra $100 million on the Trump phenomenon throughout the campaign.
Their reputation has taken a huge hit. They're one of the lowest rated cable news networks now. They're even behind MSNBC, for crying out loud.
They weren't in 2015. They were behind Fox News.
Well,
Fox is by far number one.
Yeah, they're way behind the Fox News.
They're bringing on Todd Hoffman to anchor their primetime segment, so they'll get a ratings spike out of that.
Hey, let's do the email of the day, but first... Oh, I'm sorry. Look at that. Quick to the trigger there. Wheelhouse. They have the holiday party at 590 The Fan. It's Thursday, December 8th. The Wheelhouse, great spot. Check them out. Downtown, 1000 Spruce Street, just blocks from Busch Stadium. All the TVs, the From Scratch menu. You guys are all going to be there for the party, I take it?
Yep.
Larry Nickel.
Home of Gold Rush.
Try to be there, yeah.
Larry Nickel, I'll probably dress up as Santa Claus again. Always a fun time, and a lot of great charities are donated to from the holiday party. It's going to be at the Wheelhouse on Thursday, December 8th. All right, sorry, Plowsy. Now, the email of the day. See, I was trying to get to him quick, but so many political hot takes there.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
All right. Are these pretty good, Sea Monster? Yes, no, he's so locked into his email, he's not even looking. Hey, Doug, apparently everyone is upset about these sleepovers Cam is having. I hope they don't find out about our sleepovers and how each time you climb it.
Okay, who was it?
Somebody says, we struck gold. That's a free dotem. The newest fan page lurker.
Free dotem?
No. The newest fan page lurker.
That's his name. The newest fan page lurker has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension logule.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope the Blues win tonight. Thanks, Beef Momo.
Okay.
Beef strong, Momo.
Strong take.
I like it.
Beef Momo.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lieutenant Marlowe is going to try and use a little misdirection and dazzle you with official-sounding terms like Code Red. But according to forensics, Lydia Moss Bradley took an axe, gave her husband 40 whacks when she saw what she had done, gave her children 41. These are the facts, and they are undisputed.
They're not the facts.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man, prosecuting attorney.
That's Lizzie Borden did that.
Yeah.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
I got a letter from Bradley University yesterday, and it's coming on, I think, the...
Asking you to tone down the rhetoric?
No, like some anniversary of the founding or whatever it was, and Lydia Moss Bradley was on the envelope. I was going to tweet it, I should have. But also, they gave me some nice sticky labels for my address, which I appreciate, and I now might donate a small amount of money because they gave me some nice sticky labels. Has the BU...
Like, what kind of money are we talking about?
You know... Not more than $100.
No,
nothing that's gonna buy them anything.
But they good have to there. Have that money because I'm guessing the tuition only went up 15% this year, and without your donation, the whole school will go bust.
But if thousands of people give $50 or $100, adds up pretty quick.
Yeah, that'll keep tuition down for the kids.
They need that money. Nobody needs money worse than our colleges.
Hey, we had some political candidates that were trying to change that.
I hope they do.
Hey, fellas, just a quick thought about email stylings. Now that Tim is gone, the strategy changes a bit. Can't be too dirty, still have to be funny, and definitely can't be too long. If I rip on Chuck or the cat, their vote is still in play if it's funny enough. Everyone loves a good fat joke, and of course, dreidel jokes have been funny since the late 30s. If I say something to Doug about Rennie Knott and Frank Cusimano moving up, well, oh, that's not nice. I could also use an oldie but goodie and go back to the Lydia Moss Bradley well, but we all know what happened to little Tommy Moss Bradley while he was standing next to the family well. He accidentally stepped in wet concrete, freed himself after it partially dried a block to his feet, and fell in, Doug. I'll see if I can come up with something good tomorrow. Thanks, Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
Not bad.
Not good.
Guys, you're absolutely right about how Trump will age while he's in office. With any stressful job, time will take an incredible toll on you. Look at Doug, for example. In the 10 years he has been in the pressure cooker known as this radio show, he went from looking like John Lithgow to looking more like Jack Lemmon. I'd still hit it, though. Vaya con Dios.
Leggy blonde?
The swollen colon.
Oh. The swollen colon.
You don't age, though.
You don't. You're very good looking. Doug, I think it's no coincidence that when Lydia Moss Bradley's children tragically died, Lydia's brother was running for a Senate seat against Hillary Clinton's great-grandpa. Yeah, Lydia's brother, Wellington, didn't withdraw from the race after a couple of his sister's kids were killed. But after they were all killed off, Hillary's great-grandpa went after Wellington's children and had all of them mysteriously killed with random illnesses and plagues. Then Wellington withdrew from the election, and Stanley went on to win the Senate seat. Fact check that. Welp, gots to go, the Jeffco gentleman.
Jeffco gentleman. Gentleman.
Okay, a couple more here. Mom, just curious if you T-boys were able to get those clammy booger hooks on the latest issue of Ear Pinning Quarterly. It has a wonderful feature that goes in depth on how to best pin those ears back whilst sailing in and carving a cute landing strip, as well as a fantastic spotlight that goes in depth on best practices for pinning those ears back whilst posted up backwards on the turlet while flat giving labor to some nope. How do you do, Timmy Holters?
Timmy Walters. Walters.
Okay, I guess what? One more maybe? How about one more?
Yo.
Guys, Plops here. Always a treat to hear Charlie on the show, especially in the fall time when you just know he's letting himself go physically for the rest of the year. Charlie, if you were a lunch meat, you would be Braunschweiger. I say this simply because every now and again I get a real hankering for Braunschweiger, and I simply must have it in order to quench my meaty thirst. But I'm also smart enough to know if I had to have it 5 days per week, I'd kill myself. Literally. Triple Lindy off of the JB Bridge. Anyway, Merry Christmas to you and yours, you boy pig, Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
I couldn't get to because it's my fault. Actually, it's your guys' fault for doing the politics. I didn't mean to get there, but we had about seven left on the table, so perfect. I apologize.
You're the one that asked for the clip.
Yeah.
Well, I was playing the audio clips you guys put on the freaking paper.
You don't have to play them all.
Why not?
There were several.
Why would you put it on the paper?
Can
if
we,
you're not
can
play
we
it?
Just go and not point fingers? We're a team here, gentlemen. We have three that I liked. Matt, who balls and Hank's Beef Momo. I'm going Beef Momo. Simple.
I enjoyed Beef Momo, but I'm going to go with a fellow by the name of the Jeffco Gentleman.
Jeffco Gentleman. Okay, what was the one about Lydia Moss Bradley, Wellington's? I agree with you, Doug. Jeffco Gentleman. Well done. I also liked Matt, who balls and Hank's. Got to shut it down, though. Good times. I'll be back in tomorrow. So sorry, all you listeners that hate me, but we'll do it again tomorrow. And thank you to Iggy, to Plowsy, to Sea Monster, for Doug and the Cat. I'm Charlie, filling in for Tim on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GM Studio, GMC Studio. And Frank Cusimano is up next with the press box. We'll hand off with Lion's Choice. We all love Lion's Choice, of course. So again, we'll see you tomorrow on the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com.